I'm living a movie, not living by rules. It's just a movie, don't lose your cool.
Yo, welcome to another episode of Spoiled Movie Reviews on the Black Guy Who Tips podcast network for the premium podcast listeners. Of course, Spoiled Movie Reviews is where we review movies for people who've seen the movie, don't ever plan on seeing the movie, or just don't care because we spoil everything. Jamie Foxx is in this movie at the end credits. See, you should have already turned off.
Mm-hmm.
We have some guests today, of course. Karen is here. What's going on, Karen?
How y'all doing?
Great, great, great. And if you've read the description, you should already know that this is for the movie A Million Ways to Die in the West. And you should know that the guest is Gaming and Then Some podcast own Sterling. What's up, man?
What's up, man? How y'all doing out there?
Great, man. We appreciate you doing this.
We do, sir.
No problem.
This may be our fastest review to like watch to review time ever, because we literally just watched it and just happened to be talking on Twitter with Chris, and Sterling chimed in and said he'd seen the movie, and I said, cool, might as well have someone on that you know, that enjoyed the movie as well. So let's talk about it. A Million Ways to Die is a film starring Seth MacFarlane as a cowardly farmer who begins to fall for the mysterious new woman in town. He must put his newfound courage to the test when her husband, a notorious gunslinger played by Liam Neeson, announces his arrival. It comes in at just about 2 hours and stars Charlize Theron, Amanda Seyfried, Liam Neeson, Giovanni Ribisi, Sarah Silverman's in it, Neil Patrick Harris, you know, some people that, you know, pretty good comedic chops or whatever, and well-known names. Well, we break it down easy here. We do the 0 out of 5, review scale for the show, where it's either 0, which is man, fuck you, or, 5, which is fuck you waiting for, go see this shit. And we talk about what worked and what didn't work, and then we'll rate it. So let's talk about what worked for this film. And I will go to you first, Sterling.
There wasn't really much. Like, honestly, I like the fact that there were, I would like to say, like, multiple climaxes in the story arc. Like, there was, it wasn't all leading to the final scene, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I like how it was, first, I think, the, oh, shit, what was it? I just saw the movie yesterday, and I can't remember what the first thing that happened was. But I think it was right after when he had to fight the first duel, Seth MacFarlane had to fight the first duel and bowed out and shit because he was a bitch.
Yes.
You had that one, and then you had the one with Neil Patrick Harris, and then you had the final one. So I appreciated that more because it made you, it didn't feel as long of a movie to me, because I wasn't watching like this, like, you know, like the same, thing playing out over, I would say 2 hours. It's more like, almost felt like, 45 minute episodes 3 times. Mm-hmm. Besides that, it was pretty like Neil Patrick Harris was spot on in the movie. And that final cameo, Jamie back.
Yeah. I could definitely see that. They did have a lot going on in this film, which could have been a more straightforward narrative, but they pretty much, you know, like added a couple other elements in there, that I think, kind of adds more backstory to everything going on. Karen, what did you think, what worked for this film for you?
Only thing that worked, for me was Jamie Foxx, and you didn't get him to the end of the movie, and then you had to sit another 10 to 15 minutes for one more line. Mm. To me, I didn't like anything else about the movie.
Okay. Let's see. Things that worked for me, I did think, it was shot well. I liked Sarah Silverman and Giovanni Ribisi as Ruth and Edward, guy who was he was dating a prostitute, but they were Christian and saving sex. The gag went on a little bit long or whatever, but, I was okay with it because they both committed to the part really hard. I, unfortunately, some of my favorite jokes were in the trailer. So, like, I think I would have laughed harder if I hadn't known the ice gag was coming. The Christopher Lloyd cameo had a chance to be one of the best cameos in the game, and they wasted it.
Yeah, sir. Like, I didn't get that, too, because I think that they started showing that commercial maybe, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And at first, I didn't even know what was happening, because, like, you know, I just see it in passing. But once I finally realized they were showing that, I'm like, why would you not leave that for the moviegoer? Because that's really big. Like, they might as well just show the Django shit, too.
Right, especially if you're not going to do anything with it. Like, if you were going to do something with the Christopher Lloyd cameo, like, he gets involved in a couple scenes, you know, maybe there's a Michael J. Fox thing later or something, then you go, oh, okay. But they just drop it right there. And you're like, really? Is that it? Mm-hmm. I thought the scenery was well done. Felt pretty authentic or whatever. Like it was really filmed in the Old West. I thought Liam Neeson plays a kind of menacing bad guy, but I don't know. That almost felt like he was going through the motions, so I can't really give him too much props for that. I really wish there was more I could give props for. There's a bunch of little jokes in the background that I think they didn't think were funny enough to be the main joke in the scene. But some of the little mm-hmm. jokes did make me laugh. Like, when they cut away to the horse that he's not, the sheep that he didn't shear. And it's just a big ass ball of fur or whatever. Bumping into a wall, like that kind of made me laugh. There was a few other ones too, where it was just like an add on where I'm like, oh, that was good, you know, and then you move on. But I didn't really laugh out loud very much.
Most of the shit I would have laughed out loud at was in the trailer for me.
Yes. Right. Yes. Right. Yes. And I have and me and Roger has talked about this. I wish people that fucking cut trailers understood movie going. It's like they don't give a fuck about the movie gore. I want to be surprised. Don't show me every fucking thing, and then I'm mad because you showed me everything that could have been climatic or could have been something as me watching it and not knowing it could have been made to put the movie over the top, but instead I get all the jokes, all the gags in the trailers.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about what didn't work. This might take longer. I don't know. What didn't work for you, Sterling?
My biggest thing, and I actually, I tried to watch Blazing Saddles yesterday after I saw Million Ways to Die in the West because I wanted to be sure this happened. I only got maybe like 15 minutes into it because I was so busy. But I don't like Western or any time period movie that has jokes that don't make sense in the time period. And there were so many jokes that were for 2014, but in this movie. And, like, just, like, the way they were talking, like, I understand, like, all the PC shit, but, like, you were calling Indians Indians. You could have said nigga. Like, I don't want to hear African-American and black in 1882. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
Like, that shit was really, really weird to me. Like, nobody's calling somebody a black guy. Nobody's making fat ass jokes. Right. Like, that's not happening. The only thing that, like, really, like, the joke that really seemed spot on to me that was for the time was the runaway slave shit at the fair.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Even that, he had this, this seems a little bit too much, isn't it? This moment where he's almost winking at the audience, like, wow, we really went there.
Mm-hmm. I remember I was the only person in the audience that laughed. Everybody, I think I was in like a mostly white audience. This is maybe like 20 people. It was early in the morning and they were all groaning. I just laughed out loud. Like, this is the kind of shit I wanted to see. Some shit that was actually set in the time, not, you know, fucking, like I said, like 2014 jokes, like, you know, Chris Brown jokes or whatever in a Western. It just doesn't make sense to me.
It was funny because people did laugh a little bit in our theater, but there was never anything above really a chuckle in this joint. In our theater. So it was like people laughed, but it still was one of those like, oh, I wish, like, you didn't even do enough with that. Cause like, as soon as they show it, he kind of pulls away from the joke with the whole like, wow, that's a little too much, isn't it? Like all of a sudden you're like, oh, so y'all aren't going to actually go here. That's probably 20 jokes you could have made about shooting black runaway slaves. Mm-hmm. you're not gonna make any of those jokes. You're just gonna use this one gag and walk away from it. Karen, what about you? What are some things you didn't like?
I thought it was too long.
Yes. Blazing Saddles is 93 minutes. This joint 2 hours, man. And I mean, I hate to go on a little mini rant, but the 2 hour comedy has to stop.
Yes.
It's out of fucking control, man. Like, there's very few things on this earth that are funny for 2 hours. Stand-up comedians don't even do 2 hour sets, dog. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not gonna be 2 hours worth of funny shit, man. Stop this shit. Because when it's not funny, it just drones on. And then the scenes that you do to try to add levity to it, you know, the romance scenes and shit, they feel like they're going too long. And there's no jokes in them. So the whole movie ends up disconnected, disjointed, and you feel drained at the end.
Yeah, I feel like now people think it's a requirement to hit that 2 hour mark with their movies.
But it's not.
Yeah, like, I don't know if you guys saw it yet, but I saw Maleficent, and that shit was only like 90 minutes or so, and it was just perfectly done. There was no filler. It just kept moving. And when you left the theater, you were like, okay, I got my story. I'm gone. But with, like, Godzilla, I mean, it was Dying West, Days of Future Past, like, there's just shit I don't need to see and I don't care about. I just want the main story.
And I'll say specifically for comedies, because I can understand other genres needing more time. Like, you know, I enjoyed some movies that were over 2 hours this year that were action movies and shit. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy, but comedy specifically has really been hampered by the 2 hour, I don't know, it's like requirement or some shit where it's like, Blended, which is a movie people are going to shit on. I really enjoyed it until about 20 to 30 more minutes kept going. And it's like, now I hate it. You know, it's a thin line, but you can possibly do it well. Okay, Karen, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no problem. That and something else y'all talked about, the writing. The writing and the jokes was terrible. It's almost like they got the crew together to write this, and you can tell it's the same crew that worked with him on Family Guy and they worked with him on The Cleveland Show. And it's almost like they had nobody in the room to give them references, to give them kind of points to go off for what's funny. And it's one of those things where like they pissed me off because they were talking about the Best Western. I was like, fuck you, this is not a Best Western I've ever seen, for the simple fact that you made no jokes about race. I mean, you made jokes about race, but you didn't make jokes about race. You didn't go all in. You went committed. Not one time did I see the KKK. Not one time did I hear somebody say nigger. Not one time, you know, and I agree with you, Studden. The jokes they made were for 2014. It's like, no. If you're going to do this, you need to be committed to it, and the shit is going to be offensive. And we live in such a PC society that even when you try to go back and tell the truth about eras, everybody want to act like it applies to today, and it fucking doesn't. And so the writing was just terrible to me.
I want to piggyback on that, because part of that is because white people don't want to think of themselves as ever being bad. You know, like, they always have to write these characters into the story that are completely cognizant of slavery being wrong and the Native Americans being treated poorly and, you know, all this stuff, because no one wants to be a bad guy. But the reason Blazing Saddles is so funny is because the joke is white people are fucking terrible. You know, like, it, like, there's a difference between Seth MacFarlane going on 2 to 3 minute rants about how dangerous the West is and Mel Brooks just fucking showing you. Like, he just shows you, like, you do not want to live here. It's fucking horrible. Without going on, hey, everybody, you know, the average lifespan is 37 years old. And did you know that you can die from botulism? You can die from the Black Plague. You can die from hemorrhoids. Like, you don't need to tell me that. Show me that. Show me how dangerous it is. And, you know, because it was so, like you said, PC, some of the jokes that could have been good, they walk away from. I want to play a clip from the show, from the movie. And I think this is a best example of a joke where it should have been more, it should have been, they could have been edgier here, and they decided to take the pull this punch.
Wow. You look amazing. And maybe a little uncomfortable.
I look like Jane Austen threw up all over me.
You do not look like Jane Austen threw. No, you look absolutely beautiful. You can breathe in that thing, right?
There's nothing I like more than putting on some loose, baggy clothes, you know, just being able to relax.
Yeah, no, this is an end-of-the-workday outfit you have on. Yeah, no, I'm very glad I remember the six items I somehow require to hold up my pants.
Oh, yeah.
I like your bustle, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I really love that the most alluring fashion statement a woman can make today is to simulate a fat ass.
That is a simulation of a fat ass.
Thank
right
you.
There. If I was a black guy, this is the meanest trick you could play on me. Because I'd be like, oh my God, look, there's a fat ass, my favorite. And then I'd lift it up and I'd be like, ah, it's a big joke.
I know, exactly. Because look, when you lift it up, there's nothing but a metal cage under there.
Wow. You are ready to relieve the stress of the day.
So, yeah, that was their joke about black guys liking women with big asses, because her dress had, you know, a fake posterior, but it's like a wasted joke because they don't really take it there.
No, they don't go
like in. Like Sterling said, why would you say black guy?
Yeah, you could have said slave. Yeah.
Why, even better, why would you say Jane Austen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a thing yet. Like, they did it too. When what's her name? Liam Neeson asked who her lover was. Mm-hmm. She said, Mark Twain. I'm like, this isn't a thing yet. Stop. Like, don't make these
this
jokes.
This is before his time.
Well, you know what? Jane Austen doesn't bother me because, if they're referring to the English writer Jane Austen, who, you know, lived in the 17 to 1800s. Cool. Here's the problem. Nobody knows who the fuck that is in 2014. Like, it's not like, oh, I just read, some Jane Austen shit. And, I'm really glad that they made that joke because I was reading her novels from the 1800s the other day. Like, we don't get that. Like, the average moviegoer is not getting that joke. And it's almost like you're forcing it as a reference, you know what I mean? They didn't have Wikipedia back then. Like, that wasn't a running gag, but, you know, like I said, it, to me, it reeks of safety. You know what I mean? It's just a safe fucking joke. Like, you know, we don't want to say nigger, so just say a black guy. And even though there's none in the fucking movie, we'll just make that joke. And you know, speaking of which, there's no black people in the movie, and, anytime you do a Western and there's no slavery, there's no, you know, the Chinese people that they showed in there, just give them two middle fingers and you never see them again.
There's nothing.
There's no joke about the railroad. There's no joke about, you know, how little rights women had. Like, these are things that you can make jokes about in 2014. But I think we all know happened, and people laughed at it when it was in Blazing Saddles, and that was like in 1974 that they made that movie.
Mm-hmm. Like, I thought they were going to do it for a minute when Seth MacFarlane was walking with Ribisi, and he would say something about the Indians. And he was like, I don't understand what's wrong with them. Like, we basically share the country 50-50, and they're so mad at us. Like,
right.
I thought he was going to start going that route from that joke, like, you know, just giving the white person point of view on why people are mad at them, not knowing that they're evil, but he just never does.
Also in the trailer, you know what I mean? Like, also in the trailer, like, so that joke, you know, could have hit a little harder, but because you know it's coming, it's like, oh yeah, cool. Karen, more stuff to add. I have stuff to add too. So.
Okay. Did you want me to finish mine or you want to go?
Oh, let me add one real quick. Seth MacFarlane.
That was my next one. He can't act.
He's not good.
No
offense. I think he's great as a voice actor.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely talented. You know, he can sing and all that shit. And maybe it's the crutch of having animation do the work for him sometimes, where, hey, I can be Peter, Brian, and Stewie, and you know, nobody has to see me physically act that out as three different people. I can be Ted and basically star in a movie with Mark Wahlberg, and I'm not actually in the movie. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like this shit kind of hurt him because he couldn't do his voices for one, which, you know, that hurts him a lot, in my opinion, because his voices are half the comedy.
Yes, they are.
So he couldn't do his voices. And his body acting, he just felt tight in this movie. His delivery felt tight. And it felt like one of those things where, because he was writing it, and maybe he was writing it with his friends, maybe he was, you know, maybe he's that rich and powerful now, nobody can tell him this shit is whack, but like there was scenes that took me completely out of the comedy element because it felt like he was just doing a bit. Like the one in the beginning where he says, well, he's explaining how dangerous the West is.
Yeah. And he just felt like he's doing stand up for like the whole time he's in the bar.
Right. Yes. And it felt like bad stand up, like stand up you hadn't actually performed in front of an audience or toured around with, or like it felt like you just were going to put this bit in. It felt like it felt like he came up with that bit one day and then he made a movie around the bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the bit was never strong enough to be a movie.
Yeah, I think he tried to not do Ted this time. Because, like, if you remember Ted almost felt like a live-action Family Guy because they did a lot of cutaways and shit.
Yes.
And there's times in this movie where I think he needed cutaways, but I think he didn't want to do it because he didn't want that same criticism he got from Ted, even though I like Ted.
Right.
And a lot of other people that like Family Guy like Ted. But, like, for example, that scene where he's just ranting on about all the ways you can die, that the cutaways would have probably helped.
Yes,
him explaining that shit. Like just instead of yelling for 3 minutes about what's going to kill you and not show, like, he showed maybe two things that kill people, like, out of the 20 he talked about. Like, come on, dude.
That would have been perfect, in my opinion, because that was one of those scenes where he's going, well, you can die from this. You could just cut away real quick and show it. It only takes 6 seconds. And he tried to force a couple in there because he did the, those dudes over there are eating ribs that are so spicy because they've been working in a mine and their taste buds are dulled and they can die from their farts, and one of them gets up and dies from his farts.
Yeah.
Like that was basically a cutaway. Like,
yes.
That's what I expected more, because I laughed at that one just for the fact that when he fell, he hit the table, because I think they showed part of it in the trailer, but they didn't show that part where the table flips over.
Right.
But like when they showed the mayor or whatever getting dragged by the dogs, you already knew it was going to happen from the trailer, from like the first trailer.
Yeah. And it was seemed like an elaborate way to, like you said, to not do a cutaway while kind of doing a cutaway by having him walk out there and all that shit happened exactly at the time he said it was going to happen. But he just, he's so stiff and he's aware. To me, he's too aware of the fact that this is a movie. So as a character, it bothers me because he's like, when they dragged the mayor away, I heard him say, as if to illustrate my point, the wolves are taking the mayor away. I'm seeing it, motherfucker. You don't even have to say it. Like, just like, I get you want to be the smartest dude in the room, but that doesn't make you the funniest dude in the room.
And almost like the audience was dumb, and that really pissed me off. I visually can see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And also for me, something else that didn't work, Liam Neeson as the bad guy. When it comes to the bad guy, to me, the bad guy in most restaurants are the scariest motherfucker. When you hear their name, everybody should tremble. Everybody should go, oh shit. He didn't really do anything, and neither did the dude with the mustache, other than own a mustache show. Store. They didn't really do anything to go, oh shit, you shouldn't fuck with them.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a turnoff. And then the way he died, I was like, we really gonna do this bullshit? Like, he's really gonna die from getting venomous poison on the end of a bullet? Word.
That actually was okay with me, because the joke of he died before he could hear your long ass explanation was funny.
Yes.
Like, that was one of the few things where I was like, oh, I'm glad they did something other than what I thought they were going to do. But Liam Neeson in general didn't. I mean, he's not in the movie enough to be a bad guy.
Mm-mm.
Like, they don't really even follow him around to show how fucked up he is. He does one bad thing to start the show, and then that he wants his wife, and then that's it. Like, there's really no bad thing that he's doing to really make him intimidating. You know, like, if they go to cut to him robbing banks and killing innocent people and shit, then all of a sudden it's like, yo, when this motherfucker gets back, it's a problem.
I would have been more like that.
Yeah.
But just for me to go based off of the characters, oh, he's scary. No, you need to physically show me. It's a goddamn movie. I want to see it.
Well, it's almost like a Family Guy episode. You're supposed to know he's a bad guy because he's Liam Neeson. And then that's supposed to equate to Liam Neeson from Taken, Liam Neeson from, you know, all these other movies where we're like, oh, he's a bad motherfucker. Without him actually having to do much on the screen, we just go, oh, that's Liam Neeson. Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a crutch as a writer.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Oh,
I agree.
Oh, yeah. And to me, instead of leaning on that, you should have showed me, like you said, I too agree with y'all. When he sat there, we had to watch 3 fucking minutes of him going through this spiel about all the ways you're supposed to die. Every time he said something, we should have skipped scene, 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 scene. And it probably would have been 3 minutes of hilarity versus me watching his stiff, tight ass face talk to people.
I'm actually surprised they didn't have any musical numbers in this.
True.
Because Seth MacFarlane...
Well, they had one with the Neil Patrick Harris when they were at the square dance and shit.
No, that is a dance number more than musical. Like,
true.
Like, I thought... Because Seth MacFarlane loves... Seth MacFarlane loves to sing.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Like, not even with the cutaway. Like, if he didn't want to make it feel like a cutaway, mm-hmm. he should have done a song about all the ways you die in the West.
Right.
Showing.
That would have been good.
You know what I mean?
That would have been so much better.
Because, like, I actually thought we were going to get one because we, like, you don't really see, hear what they're saying when they're in the dance scene at the Western Formal and shit. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, okay, we got Seth MacFarlane. I know he loves Broadway. He always tries to put some, you know, song and dance shit in there. We got Neil Patrick Harris, Tony Award winner. He's going to have, like, one major thing that's going to kick ass and, you know, like, one big musical set that's going to kick ass. And you never really get it. Even the, when they do it in the dance scene, it's very, I think maybe like 90 seconds long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's just too safe, man. Like, I really wished he could have went there, man. And I think he could have, man, because if anybody in Hollywood, as far as comedy, who has more rope than Seth MacFarlane?
Come on now.
You know? And he just, he didn't use it. He was just like, nope, I'm going to keep it safe, man.
You know what? I think that he listened too much to all the criticism he got from Ted and was like, this is what you criticize me on. I'm going to step away from all that. But that's the shit that was funny. And that's the shit that made people like me enjoy Ted.
Right. Yeah. Oh, man. Another thing that didn't work for me was the drug sequence. Now, the setup for the drug sequence was funny as fuck. I actually enjoyed that. Like, the sitting around with the Indians and making the Native Americans and making the joke, even though that's in the trailer. I did laugh at, you know, some of the jokes leading up to it about him being a nerd and all this shit. And then the actual vision that he has, like, it just was like, I guess at that point, getting close to the end of the movie, and it was like, do you need this? Like, do I need this on screen? Because it's not particularly funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, like, it's
wasn't funny at all. I did actually like it, though. Like, now that I'm thinking about it. Because it did feel like an actual trip to me.
Right.
But it just had nothing to do with anything that was happening.
Right. And it's at a critical juncture in the movie where it's supposed to be arriving to a conclusion. And you feel like, well, that was just 5 minutes of screen time that you didn't need. Because you're just going to end up with, let me guess, you got the courage now, right? You know?
Yeah. You got the juice now.
Right. And like, some of... And, like, the joke was, look at these huge balls on this condor and look at these sheep pissing. You know, like, it was, I don't know, man. So it just felt like so low bar for them. You know, and even a joke like Neil Patrick Harris shitting in people's hats.
Yes, I fucking hated that joke. Yo.
Yeah, it goes on too long. And then right when you're like, okay, let's move on, he kicks the hat over and shit comes out and you're like, so then we just really, the audience didn't get that, right? You just needed to show it. Yeah. That's the only way we can get it. Karen, what were you going to say?
Yeah, and my thing is that there was a lot of sheep penises in this movie for some apparent reason, pissing in the air.
Well, white dudes love dick jokes and ass jokes and shit like that. So, you know, I think they just expected us to laugh because it's a dick or... You know, she's putting a flower in his ass, guys. Isn't that hilarious?
No.
Like, I guess.
I've seen a penis before. Do something funny other than show it to me.
Yeah. So, all right, man. Let's rate this bad boy. I think we've kind of... Oh, I actually did say have another good thing to add. I forgot. Charlize Theron. She did good.
Mm-hmm.
Not her fault.
That's true now.
Like, I'll tell you that much. Like, she did everything she could with that part, man. As typical and cliche as that part was, she seemed to be having fun with it. There was a scene where she actually laughed at one of his jokes, and I believed she laughed in real life. And then I went back and was like, oh, wait a minute. It's a movie.
She good.
Yeah. The character laughed. She's so good. That laugh was in the script, and I believed she spontaneously found Seth MacFarlane hilarious. And I said, this woman can act. So, yeah, I gotta give her props, cause I didn't say that earlier. All right, man, let's, go ahead and wrap. Yeah. Oh, another thing that didn't work, man. I'm sorry. Amanda Seyfried and Neil Patrick Harris, like, the chemistry just isn't there. And then the rivalry just wasn't pronounced enough. I needed Neil Patrick Harris to be more of a dick, honestly.
Yeah.
Like it did. He didn't give me that feeling of like, oh no, he can't end up with her, which is, you know, that's how you're supposed to feel. Like, Joe McHale, when he shows up in Ted, you're like, oh no, not this dude. But, I don't get that from Neil Patrick Harris. I kind of was like, what's wrong with him? Why is he a bad person?
Yeah, he seemed like a decent dude. He had his own business and shit. She just chose somebody else. Like,
yeah.
And then he makes it into a big thing. Like, and then, like, I don't know, like, that did definitely seem weird to me, because it wasn't like you knew, of Neil Patrick Harris's character before, like they were best friends or something like that.
Right, right.
And then, like, he undermined him and shit. He's like, yeah, this is my new chick. Like, nigga, I don't know about you.
Right. And Amanda Seyfried's not even that bad of a person in this movie. Mm-mm. She's just bored with him. Yeah. Like, it wasn't even some, like, oh, she's so evil. She went and fucked. Like you said, that, man, that's just a great idea, Sterling. If you just make that his best friend, everything else makes more sense. Like, oh, yes. This is why he's so fucked up. But
yeah,
they didn't want to do it. All right. Well,
nope.
Let's rate this shit, from 0 to 5 on a More Epic Than Love Jones scale, which we, borrow from Movie Trailer Reviews. Karen, what would you give it from 0 to 5?
I give it 0. I did not like this movie at all. Roger knows I love every goddamn thing. I was bored.
Man, fuck you is what Karen gives it. What about you, Sterling? What would you give it from 0 to 5?
I'll give it a 2.
That's Netflix. So if you see this thing on Netflix, guys, you might want to give it a shot. I will go in the middle of both of you guys and give it a 1. I thought the Jamie Foxx joke was funny. I thought Charlize Theron did her thing, and you know, that's about all that saves it, honestly, from being 0, because I was pretty hot when I left the theater.
Mm-hmm. I was not happy at all.
Yeah, especially since we went to see Maleficent and it was, that shit was sold out
and I was angry. I was like, shit.
Oh, damn, really?
Yeah, I was like, first, and I think that's why I was angry, because I was like, god damn it, I can't see what I wanted to see. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll go see it. And then the shit was born. Mm-mm, you get a goddamn 0.
Yeah, so save your money.
Yeah, I feel bad for y'all now.
Yeah, save your money. It'll be on TNT soon. And you know what? It might even be like one of those movies that's better with the editing of the cuss words.
Because
like,
then it won't be 2 hours.
No, well, not just, no, of the cuss words, Karen. I mean, like, it might, because they cuss a lot in this movie, but it's so safe. Like, I don't understand why you're in a movie where you can say motherfucker 17 times and you don't say nigger once.
The truth.
I just don't get it. It's the old west. Like, what the fuck was wrong with Rolling Stone? They called this movie the best western comedy of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Nigga, what?
Yes.
Yes, and that's what made me mad.
Nah, yo, I watched the first 15 minutes of Blazing Saddles. The first scene in Blazing Saddles, just the first scene with the slaves, is better than this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, dog.
Nah, just what the hell?
The man. Only like
they got paid for that shit.
The best joke in this movie, you have to stay all 2 hours for just to see it.
Yes, you do.
And it's Jamie Foxx saying, "Somebody grabbed me a white woman," and honestly, it made me mad because I was like, "This is what the movie should have been." Mm-hmm. The whole movie should have just been Jamie Foxx doing crazy shit in the West, because that makes more comedy sense than Seth MacFarlane trying to do stand up. So, all right, man. So we got 2, 1, and 0. So, all on the low scale, people. That's, pretty low, with Sterling liking it the most. So, make sure you guys go check him out, man. GATS
Pod. GATS Pod.
Yeah, GATSPOD.com. Gaming and Then Some Pod. You know, I've listened to it, man. Very funny and good, man. I enjoyed your Days of Future Past review. It was hilarious. that brother was heated, man. I was
man, look, I was so hurt, dog.
I actually I listened and hit Sterling up on Twitter, like, are you okay? Like, I listened to the review with everything. Like, yo,
we recorded our next episode of the show yesterday. We have a 10-minute conversation before the show starts about more questions I had about Days of Future Past to just fuck that movie. Like, nigga, just no. Like, it don't make no sense. Like, there's so many issues. Like, not even a continuity issue. Just fuck that goddamn movie.
Well, we haven't even reviewed it yet, man. We should get you on to do that review, too, man.
All right, yo, I'm down. Yeah, I got questions, dog.
All right. Oh, well, yeah, make sure you check us out, the Blackout Tips Premium. And we appreciate everybody for listening. Until next time, peace out.
Get your act together. My life's a movie. I leave you in that act forever.
My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie.